Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. This week, NBC rolled out Revelations. The series, from the producer and creator of Panic Room and The Omen, depicts an astrophysicist, a nun, biblical prophecy, and a looming apocalypse. The story's Harvard professor, Dr. Richard Massey, played by Bill Pullman, the president in Independence Day, believes that the world can be explained by science. Its sister Josepha, played by Natasha McElhone, puts her faith in God. The two are joined by fate as they begin to find evidence that a troubled world, as predicted by the New Testament's Book of Revelation, is nearing the end of days.
I do need to speak to you alone.
Sister, if you know who I am, then you should know that. I've had these threats against me.
I have no idea who you are. Only that I've been sent here by this. It's a map. Written with archaic symbols from Galileo's time. Drawn by a child in a comatose state who has tapped into some sort of higher consciousness. She's speaking the word of God. I know, it sounds preposterous, but as a fellow scholar, I can tell you that all the signs and symbols set forth in the Bible are currently in place for the end of days.
End of days.
In NBC's unusually religious series, both heaven and hell have their warriors here on Earth, where scientists ride alongside the devil and true believers are on the side of God. Apocalyptic Christian fiction has been hugely popular for years in its own realm. Now the fire and brimstone religious drama has moved into primetime television. This is a cultural moment. Tonight on Point, the apocalypse now. Religion comes to primetime with a grudge against science and a fascination with the end of days. Joining me now from Baltimore is David Zurowick, television critic for the Baltimore Sun. David, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
David, you've written about the kind of ramp that's built us up to this, and it's got bricks from Left Behind and the Da Vinci Code and the Passion of the Christ. Just in business terms, television honchos have looked out and seen opportunity.
Yeah, the numbers, I mean, the audience that it's tapping into, you wonder, I mean, the question may be why it's taken them so long to come to this. The Left Behind series, as you know, started, I think, in 1996. These numbers were out there for a while, but I really do think it's The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson that really, which is now, I think it's $956 million worldwide. It's approaching $1 billion. I think that's the thing that finally told the folks in Hollywood, hey, we have to get a piece of this action. Now, the networks, and specifically NBC, have tried this before. They tried in the mid-90s, and I remember Warren Littlefield, who was then the head of programming at NBC, in an interview talked about, look, we have research that shows people are looking, the audience is looking for something a little beyond the everyday existence of going to work. They're looking for what we think is spiritual. They introduced a show called Amazing Grace with Patty Duke, if you remember it, as a minister. And then ABC in 96, 97 came on with Nothing Sacred about a Jesuit priest, which was a much better more sort of gripping, not gripping, but a more realistic sort of drama. Neither one of them did well in the ratings, but this time I think there's a difference. The first installment Wednesday night of Revelations did very well in the ratings. It was watched by 15.6 million viewers, which is the best by far. That it's better than West Wing did in that time period at any time during the year. And it was up against American Idol on Fox. Now, American Idol on Fox won that time period with 25 million viewers, but they extended to an hour specifically to counter program, which all of a sudden we went from religion to real television, sort of down in the gutter fighting. But that 15.6 million really sort of sent a ripple through the broadcasting industry. And if those numbers hold for one or two more weeks, we're going to see about a half a dozen imitations.
And as you say, this is not like the old-fashioned touch by an angel, Joan of Arcadia. This is certainly not the Flying Nun. I saw this hour, and it is just chock-a-block with highly religious language, quoting Scripture, Matthew thus and such, Isaiah thus and such, the book of Revelation, talking about God and Jesus and the crucifix on the screen. This is very explicit, very dark, as it happens, very religious.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a great point, Tom, because it is very different, I would say, from anything that we've seen before in that sense. Television tried, network television at least, would generally, because we have to consider HBO had Carnival, you know, as Carnival, which is in its second year, and shares a lot of these elements, especially the darkness and the sense of a looming apocalypse. But not as much
Bible front and center.
I was just going to say, even that show, you're absolutely right. It's not nearly as much Bible out there and Scripture quoted as this one. And I think that is a direct appeal, not just to a religious audience, but to people, but to fundamental Christians especially, and people who the networks feel have a close relationship to the New Testament and want to hear that language, you know, in a dramatic format in the series.
Really unvarnished. It really turned my ear and my head. And as you say, if this works, and it looks like it's working, certainly it worked for Mel Gibson, $1 billion box office.
Yeah.
Now you've got a lot more in the pipeline. NBC's The Book of Daniel. You describe a drug-addicted Episcopal priest who has conversations with a contemporary cool Jesus. That's pretty explicit.
Well, it is. And Aidan Quinn's a good actor. Those, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, because there's that one, and there's one, I think, called Briar and Graves in production over at Fox, and CBS has one in production.
The Fox one, you say, an excommunicated priest using a gun in his self-ordained battle against evil. Fox describes it really unabashedly here as the X-Files goes to church, and CBS with an untitled series in development about a physicist with strong religious beliefs, this tension between science and religion there again.
Yes, that's exactly it, and I think that's one of the keys here, is this tension between science and religion. That's one that they all seem to share. And they all do, I mean, each in its own way, is a little derivative in a Hollywood sense, in a television network genre sense, of the X-Files, you know, with the man and the woman, and one's a believer and one's a skeptic, and they're solving this thing, and it's sort of them against these forces that they don't understand, except in the X-Files, the motto was trust no one, and the motto here is like believe in God.
Very explicit. Even Jesus Christ. X for the crucifix almost in these.
Yes, it is. It really is. And that is a big difference. And again, honestly, I'm not saying one night of ratings is going to make this series jump, you know, is going to make Hollywood imitate it. But I think that really that's a very powerful start for this series, given that Fox was trying to blow him out of the water with probably the strongest show on television in terms of ratings right now.
Well, it sounds like a trumpet fanfare for a whole lot more very deeply religiously colored material on network television. David, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
David Zerowick, television critic for the Baltimore Sun. He spoke with us from Baltimore. We are talking tonight about apocalyptic religious drama going prime time on network television. The 6-part miniseries Revelations drew NBC's highest ratings for 6 months in its time slot when it premiered Wednesday night. You can join the conversation. Did you watch Revelations? What is bringing heaven, hell, God, Satan, and the apocalypse onto primetime TV? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Chicago is Barbara Rossing, author of The Rapture Exposed, The Message of Hope in the Book of Revelation. She's an ordained minister who teaches the New Testament at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. Barbara Rossing, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
Did you catch Revelations on NBC primetime on Wednesday night?
Yes, I did, although I'm not sure how close it is to the biblical book of Revelation, but yes, indeed.
Well, we'll talk about how close it is. Certainly references to the Bible and Revelations all over it. But first of all, just as an ordained Christian minister with a deep grounding in the book of Revelations, in the New Testament, what did you think of the tone, the message, the dramatic theme of this show?
Well, certainly it picks up on the apocalyptic and sort of scary dimensions of the Book of Revelation, although I would argue that the message of hope is very much what Revelation is about, and I didn't see that as much. So the whole thing driving it is the suspense of the end of the world, and I think we need both as Christians. So I guess I'm waiting to see more the message of hope. But I understand that the series is going to become more and more destructive. So I guess I didn't see what I would have liked to have seen. Although certainly the value of a series like this is if it brings up issues of spirituality to people, that's great. But I hope it's not just premised on fear and trying to predict the end of the world, because I don't think that's what the heart of the Bible is about.
And what did you think about the clear conflict between science and religion that really seems to be at the heart of this series, at least in the first episode? I mean, scientists is essentially described as devil's advocates.
Yeah, I was a little bit distressed by that, frankly, because I'm a scientist as well as a Christian. I did my first degree in geology, and my family is scientists. And I've never heard scientists talk the way this supposed Harvard professor did, you know, where he claims to have debunked the biblical plagues of Exodus and uses science to explain everything. I don't think most scientists are like that, and it's a caricature of them. So I was disappointed with that. And the idea that religion is out to disprove science as a Christian, as a person of faith, I believe in evolution also, and I don't think that one has to leave scientific beliefs behind or science practices behind. At the Lutheran School of Theology, for example, we have a center called the Zygon Center for Religion and Science, and there's many other centers for religion and science around the seminaries. So I think the whole notion of this mutually exclusive belief in either science or religion is playing into fundamentalism in our country, certainly, but I don't think it represents the heart of Christianity, and I thought it was unnecessary.
Barbara Rossing in Chicago, please stand by. We're talking tonight about apocalyptic religious drama pushing into the mainstream media, about God and Satan duking it out in prime time. Were you one of the millions who tuned in to Revelations this week? What drew you? Religious faith? Apocalyptic fears? Curiosity about where our culture is headed? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about apocalyptic religious drama pushing into the mainstream media, about God and Satan duking it out in prime time. This week, NBC rolled out Revelations, 6 weeks and maybe more if it's successful, and it sure was on its first night, of the Bible and Scripture and Jesus and the cross and the end times. Right there, prime time. What do you think? From Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ to NBC's Revelations, what is driving religion into the center of contemporary American entertainment? And does it inspire you or freak you out when millions of Americans gather at the Tube to see science bashed and dark biblical prophecy embraced? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined tonight from Chicago by Barbara Rossing. She's author of The Rapture Exposed, The Message of Hope in the Book of Revelation. She's an ordained minister, teaches at New Testament at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. And right now from Los Angeles by Diane Winston. She's chair of media and religion at the Annenberg School of Communications at the University of Southern California, author of Faith in the City, Religion, and Urban Commercial Culture. Diane Winston, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. You've looked at this nexus of religion and contemporary culture. We've had all kinds of effusions of it, from Left Behind to The Da Vinci Code to Mel Gibson's big film. Now we've got this in prime time. What do you make of this, Diane Winston? What's driving this? We've heard in business terms, there's money here and there's ratings here. In cultural terms, what do you see driving this into the mainstream?
You said earlier that this was a cultural moment, and I think you're right. It's a cultural moment for the mainstream media suddenly realizing there are millions and millions of Christians out there who just haven't been represented in primetime television or the movies. And I think that's what Hollywood is trying to capitalize on. It is a cultural moment, but it's also a money-making opportunity, and they're going hand in glove.
Do you see this becoming just a part of the whole mainstream texture of American electronic culture? Are the Was there some resistance before that's now gone? Are we going to see, I mean, we think of, at least I think of, kind of in Muslim countries, religious drama on TV, in the soaps, morning, noon, and night. Is that going to become the texture of American entertainment?
Well, there already are niche cable stations which do this kind of programming. I'm not sure it's really going to catch on in mainstream television because I don't think Hollywood gets it.
But it's there right now. It's there 9 p.m., 8 Central, big, you know, big numbers for NBC.
But, Tom, I would be I'd be surprised if this really has legs because I find the program kind of cynical. It looks to me like they put it together for freaks and geeks. The freaks are the people who want to see, like, all those weird, strange, supernatural things happening and really don't care about the religion side. And the geeks are, in some lay people's terms, the religious folks. Mm. And I'm not sure you can really appeal to both audiences. The reason why The Passion of the Christ worked and the reason why Left Behind worked is because it was done by people with real intentionality. It had a certain authenticity to it. Because of the creators.
And this is drawing from that pool, but not necessarily with authenticity. Let's get a little more of a sense from the miniseries, Revelations. Of course, there's a lot going on here, a big montage of images at the beginning where we see a baby floating in a stormy sea. Is this Jesus or the Antichrist? We don't know yet. We've got miracles transpiring around the world. We've got all kinds of death and destruction. We have a young girl in Florida whose father sees her heading off to school with hip hugger pants on and a fake tattoo low on her abdomen. They get in a big fight. She walks to school. She takes the Lord's name in vain, kind of, on her way out of the house, and walking across a golf course, is struck by lightning, ends up technically brain dead in the hospital, surrounded by very menacingly portrayed doctors. Suddenly, she starts whispering a message in Latin.
She's talking.
That's impossible. They said she was brain dead.
It's Latin. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The time is short. The world would pass away.
And there it is, echoes of Terry Schiavo all over Revelations. The girl said to be brain dead in a vegetative state by the doctors, but whispering Latin, whispering about the end of the world from NBC's Revelations. The creator and writer of the new NBC miniseries Revelations joins us right now from Los Angeles. David Seltzer is with us. Mr. Seltzer, thanks for joining us this evening.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
So tell us what you're aiming for with this miniseries. What was the inspiration and what's the timetable here? Did you grab this together after Mel Gibson had his big hit? It almost seems as though after Terry Schiavo went through her kind of national death, or long before?
Long before, actually. These things don't pull together that fast. It was before Mel Gibson and before The Passion, before anybody even recognized the fact that there was an enormous appetite in this country for religion, for stories about religion, for popularization of scripture and Bible stories. For me, it goes back to having written The Omen, way back in the 70s, mm-hmm. and having taken an interest in the book of Revelation at that time. And people asking me over the years to do that again, and I really felt that there was nothing much I had to say on the subject until I began to realize that the world we live in is very much like the world described in Revelation as the end of days.
That is, a troubled world.
A very troubled world. Troubled world, troubled in every way, socially and politically and physically, and, you know, with pestilence and plague and tidal waves and rumors of wars and endless bloodshed and the desecration of God's beautiful work. Certainly the critical mass of man's offenses against the planet are enough to bring down the wrath of God. And I really began to see every morning just on the news that the world is on a bubble and thought, why don't we take a look at that and see what kind of responsibility we have.
For prime time, you've got an extraordinary volume here of Scripture being quoted and the cross, the crucifix, the Bible's all over it. It's just more explicitly, deeply, rather darkly religious than what we're accustomed to in primetime. Was that deliberate?
Well, I have a kind of a dark
I have a dark sort of psyche, and it is not deliberately religiously dark. There is, you know, spirituality of the highest and most beautiful sort in this show. There is the dark paranormal, because we deal with the Satanistic side as well. We deal with the powers of good and the powers of evil. But I'm very interested and wanted to tell a tale of man's reach for something higher than himself. We have a character who worships science, a character who worships God, a character who worships Satan. It's all about man and his dialogue with the powers that be.
Barbara Rossing, let me turn to you. David Seltzer describes this as conveying, among other things, spirituality in its highest and most beautiful. Do you see that here? You've written about more widely about the way the Book of Revelation is used and abused in fiction. Here we've got fiction on the screen. What's your sense of how it's taken from the Bible, of the themes that infuse it?
Well, I do agree with David Seltzer that there is an enormous appetite in this country for religion, and so that, I think, is authentic. But the problem is, if the way that one sees that is in these disastrous events lining up, as he said, the tidal waves and desecration of the planet, I mean, that the world is somehow inevitably going towards its end, I think that's one aspect of the Bible, but it's not its central message. And I disagree, I guess, with this idea that our calling as Christians is to line up the signs and symbols set forth in the Bible as if that's what prophecy means, to try to correlate current events with a kind of script that he sees the Book of Revelation as. I don't read Revelation as this prophetic script that is laid out in advance, events that are going to be leading us to the end of the world. I think prophecy has much more of a sense of proclaiming God's word, a message of judgment as well as salvation, but it's not predicting a sequence of disastrous events. So even though it's certainly fictionalized on this TV series, the nun says a couple times that she sees the signs lining up that way. She's almost like a scientist herself, and I don't think that's how the Bible functions, as that kind of script for the end of the days.
David Seltzer, how about it? It may have people glued to their seats, but are you at some level exploiting religion for the dark side, going for that ooga booga scare here?
Well, no. Exploiting, certainly not. I've written stories about people who have handicaps, about people who are divorced, people who lose their parents or their children.
But we mean this story.
I write about human crisis, and I don't know that you could call that exploiting handicapped people or people who lose their loved ones.
We're not talking about handicapped people here. We're talking about your miniseries Revelations, as in Book of Revelation.
Yeah, exploiting? No, not at all. I'm really using it as a fabric for a dramatic fiction. I am a writer of entertainment, after all, and I'm not a scholar of the Bible. I'm a student, in a way, of the Bible, of the most basic kind, because I love reading it and trying to figure out all of what it means within my limited capacity to. But I'm not preaching religion at all. I'm telling a tale, as I did in The Omen, of a story, a dramatic and frightening and thrilling story that has the scriptures as interwoven into the fabric of it.
Diane Winston, I hear you there in L.A.
All the way out here.
Yeah.
What bothers me is that you talk about a cultural moment. Well, the cultural moment since 9/11 has been a culture of fear. And in that sense, this program fits right in, because it's harping on the fearful. And I think that's what Barbara is alluding to also when she talks about the different biblical messages, that this is a message which is dark and scares people.
David Seltzer?
Well, hold on. We're actually mixing the sounds of our show.
Final episode's being pulled together as we talk.
As we speak, we're just getting on the air barely one at a time. I don't know that one could say that any frightening movie has a function, but it definitely does. Any horror movie that you will see, I mean, you know, from Greek times to now, not that they made movies, but they certainly made some horrific plays, is an opportunity for people to go into a theater and express their fear in a way that is not really, in other words, if we create a fiction that they can be fearful about, people can vent their fears in a much safer place and a safer way.
Well, a fiction, but you're tying it directly to the Bible. I mean, as your own words here, you're saying you're making a kind of horror movie out of the Bible. I want to begin to.
No.
Well, are you not?
I did not say that.
It sounded to me that
frightening,
you did.
I said frightening stories always play upon our fears. If I'm writing a story that has frightening elements in it, I don't know that I'm predicting anything or exploiting anybody. Human beings love to go into a theater, go to theater, and see stories and identify with stories.
But here it is in this show. It's all woven right around the Bible. Your press kit's full. It's got a summary of the Book of Revelation right in it. I mean, you're not mincing any words about being that right next to Scripture.
I don't get you. What is your point? What is your question?
Simply that I'm just observing that you've got fiction and religion very cheek by jowl here in a kind of horror movie motif or scary story motif.
It's not just a scary story. It's a very poignant story. And have you seen the pilot, by the way?
Yes, I have. I do want to get our callers in here. Mark's calling from McHenry, Illinois. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Good evening. And, certainly it is exploitive, but television is a medium which is meant for the exploitive. But the problem that I have, and again, I don't have a problem with the gentleman putting on the show. I mean, mm-hmm. it's very well done. But, I see this whole Left Behind genre as kind of a theological science fiction. I personally consider the Book of Revelations to be the Bible's acid trip. And I'll tell you, what concerns me, I prefer science fiction of the more conventional kind, but the difference between, say, Star Trek and Revelations is Star Trek doesn't put people in a mindset where perhaps down the road they would be supportive of foreign policy decisions or directions this country can take, which could, in some respects, help us engineer the sort of apocalypse in some respects, in the Middle East and other parts of the world. I'm not saying
actually be drawn toward the apocalypse by the kind of dramatic allure of it.
Well, what I'm talking about is we have a government which currently, people can argue one way or the other, seems to be more and more driven by sort of a fundamentalist and religious direction, a focus on that side of the political spectrum, and these are the same people who think, well, everything's lining up so that it's all going to happen, so why should we worry about it? Maybe it should happen. Let it happen.
And of course, that government's just been reelected, so it should be no surprise that we see this reflected in popular culture. Mark, thanks for calling. Barbara Rossing, let me turn to you with that. In your book, as I recall, you write about very real-world consequences for particular interpretations of the Bible, of the Book of Revelation.
Yes, I agree with the caller that I think this kind of theology does become problematic if people try to enact the script. Actually, though, what I hear about this pilot is that in the end, these heroes are going to try to forestall the end of the world. And I think that's good to try to mm-hmm. stave off Armageddon. I don't think the sense of inevitability that some fundamentalists have is good. So maybe I'll end up being more a defender of the series. But I do agree with the caller that when this is taken into the political realm, and if there's overtones of the Terri Schiavo case or whatever here, I think it's problematic if we're being invited into this storyline in order to support a kind of right-wing political script. That's certainly problematic, and I agree with him. But I just want to say one thing. Actually, I agree with David Seltzer that I think the use of story is a very powerful and perfectly valid way to play out the Bible in the fictional realm. I like good Christian fiction. For me, the problem is that the Bible verse quotes are sort of gratuitous in this. I mean, the nun is not like any nuns I know, just sort of spewing out Bible verses. But the idea of doing a story, I think, is fine. It's maybe the Bible quotes out of context that I had a greater problem with than the storyline itself.
Mm-hmm. David Seltzer, how do you see the political ramifications here? Religion and politics are very close in American life these days,
yeah.
So I guess your show can't help but factor into that somehow.
If there's, I really don't write to send any kind of a message, and I'm far from a right-wing fundamentalist. The Rapture and the Left Behind series is something that even if I read, I would leave behind. I'm very interested in man's responsibility in the destruction of the planet, and the character who believes that there might be time for mankind to do his part and in some way forestall the wrath that would be brought down by all of our many sins against the earth and our fellow man.
And do you ultimately suggest that kind of saving of the planet would come from religious devotion or from science, David Seltzer?
I think it plays upon, the story is very much about our own personal conscience and our own thinking.
That is devotion, prayer.
No, not necessarily prayer at all, our sense of responsibility. There are devotional people in this story. There are those who have no connection to spirituality or religion at all. But it's a story about two people who are drawn together. What they have in common is personal tragedy. Mm. One of them rejects religion and believes in science, and the other one is a true believer, a nun. And in their way, they're both on a spiritual journey to find some reason for what goes on in this world. That's where this story began for me, frankly. If I may talk about my own life for a minute, this is not a political tract. It's a very personal one. I experienced something in my own life that made me ask the question, why was I forsaken? What have I done to deserve some terrible thing that happened to me? And this is not fictional. This is real.
Though in episode one, we see the kind of nimbus around the nun and the kind of horns on the scientist. We'll talk about that. David Seltzer, Diane Winston, Barbara Rossing, please stand by. We're talking tonight about television reaching for ratings in science bashing and the end of days. You can join us. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about apocalyptic religious drama pushing into the mainstream media about God and Satan duking it out in prime time. My guest tonight, Diane Winston, Chair of Media and Religion at the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Southern California. Barbara Rossing, joining us from Chicago, author of The Rapture Exposed, an ordained minister, teaches at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. And David Seltzer joins us from L.A. He is creator, executive producer, and writer of the new NBC miniseries, Revelations. Got big ratings in its premiere Wednesday night and great hopes at NBC for this movie. Interesting. What does it say about American culture? You can join us tonight. Is this just another kind of ghost story, just a new twist on horror films and Independence Day? Is this different from Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments and Moses parting the Red Sea every year on television? And with war, terrorism, global warming, does the end of days theme speak to you? Is this the way you'd like to see American culture respond? We're at 1-800-423-8255. Let's hear just a little more from Revelations. Here's a scene where Sister Josepha's theology and the Harvard physicist Richard Massey's scientific rationale clash as they argue over how and why a young brain-dead girl could be whispering mysterious messages in Latin.
In the Tibetan Himalayas, on special days of the Buddhist calendar, young women die for several hours to act as messengers between the living and the dead.
That's not what's going on here.
Well, how could you possibly know that?
It's silver alloys that are picking up electrical signals and radio frequencies. That's why antennae are made out of them and lightning rods.
What does that have to do with
She has two fillings in her head, embedded in the autonomic center of her brain, being stimulated by lightning during electrical storm.
As lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so does the word of God. Matthew 24:27.
Believe whatever you want to.
Oh, deny whatever you want to. I saw it. I heard it.
Matthew 24:27, right out there on American television, she soon calls this scientist the devil's advocate. Stan's calling from Spokane, Washington. Stan, what do you think?
Tom, you got to know I love your show.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you very much.
Is Diane still on?
Yes, she is.
I would like to pose the somewhat tongue-in-cheek question that who's, to all of them, in fact, Barbara and David, too, who do you suppose is looking forward to the rapture? I'm a devout atheist in Spokane, and I wonder who's looking forward to the rapture more. Spokane's a pretty conservative red state, fundamental Christian area, I would, you know, if I were to categorize it.
So what do you mean when you say who's looking forward to the rapture more, to the apocalypse more?
I wonder who's looking forward to it more, atheists like myself or the evangelicals?
Translate your tongue in cheek there. what are you really asking?
He's happy that all the evangelicals will be gone.
you want to see them leaving just their underwear behind like they do in...
I think that was Diane's answer.
Yeah. Stan, we've got it. And well, Diane, what do you say? There's a self-described devout atheist who wants somebody to head heavenward.
Well, those evangelicals who do believe in rapture theology, I'm sure, are looking forward to it happening,
mm-hmm.
which is why... they would probably have a problem with this show if it's going to really put off the time of the end of the world, because they have nothing to worry about. They're going to go straight to heaven.
Barbara Rossing, is it sacrilegious for humans to try and put off the end of the world?
No, not the, if it's a kind of environmental catastrophe. Actually, I wanted to say to Stan, yeah, but I think this series is not going to have a rapture, and that's why some fundamentalists have critiqued it. But I actually don't believe in the rapture. I believe in the second coming of Christ, but not this two-part theology that I talk about in my book with the rapture. So so I don't think we're going to see that in this series. And so this series has actually offended some of the right-wing Christians for that reason. But I think the question you ask about who's going to be this appealing to is clearly answered by those numbers. I mean, I think it's an intriguing series.
And David Seltzer, where do you find your best audience, your strongest response in religious quarters, in non-religious quarters?
You know, I really don't know. I don't write for an audience. I will say that when I did The Omen, I received awards from Christian organizations for bringing to popular attention the scriptures, for making this, you know, the 3-6s a part of our awareness. People were changing their addresses and phone numbers, and what it did was open the Bible to a lot of people and make a lot of people curious about what's in there. And in the Bible, the reason I love it as a writer is there's something for everyone to find. It is an all-purpose, all-inviting book, and it's to me it's like a great mystery thriller. It's just full of clues. I mean, we know who done it, but we really don't know where it's going, how it ends, or how everything connects.
But Barbara Rossing, what do you think of that view of the Bible? David Seltzer's gift to the world in reminding us about the 666 sign of the devil, the mystery of the Bible, bringing it forward. Scripture we heard quoted there right in Revelations, the miniseries. Is this a favor to Christianity?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm always happy to hear the Bible, of course, but I think it's this kind of isolated single Bible verse kind of quoting that can become problematic, like the 666 that's in Revelation 13, just in that one verse. And this miniseries has a lot of sort of isolated verses quoted out of context, like the supposed recitation of Revelation in Latin. The very first verse that comes out is actually from 2 Thessalonians, and another verse is used here or there. There's one from the Gospel of John that's in the middle of a different kind of story from the way it's used. So I guess I'm always happy when people get interested in the Bible, but the problem is if they think the Bible is best used in this kind of throw out a Bible verse here and another one unconnected there. I actually thought the way West Wing used the Bible was more persuasive to me, when President Bartlet would actually deliberate over ethical problems in light of his Christian faith. So I might be one of the minority there, but I think a more contextual and whole life view of the Bible is more helpful to Christians. But I'll not argue with someone who gets Bible verses on network TV. I mean, it's important.
Sign of our times. Dana is calling from Orleans, Massachusetts. Hi, Dana. You're on the
Hi.
Air.
Good evening. Good yes. Evening. Well, as a Christian myself, I'd like to say if it wasn't for Ms. Rossing, I'd probably be an atheist, given this kind of Manichaean comic book type theology, which panders to the religious right, and it dumbs down religious and social discourse. And I think it's a threat to democracy and faith.
Describe each of those. Why a threat to democracy? Why a threat to faith?
Well, because as both Bob Dylan says, you never ask questions when God's on your side. They're making religion a political ideology with God as the head of it, and his Christian soldiers are fighting the sons of darkness, and they're going to have this big battle, and God's going to win. And just taking the Bible so literally, especially Revelation, it's laughable to me. I mean, I used to believe that myself. I used to really believe that Christ was going to appear in the sky, you know, and people who happen to be airplane pilots or train engineers or motorists are just going to all of a sudden get zapped into the sky, and then there's going to be all kinds of disaster on Earth because, you know,
yeah,
everybody's been, you know.
And on we go. Manichaean comic book theology. Dana, you got away with words there. Thanks for calling. Diane Winston, what about it? I mean, David Seltzer says he doesn't have a political agenda. We believe that, and that he doesn't write for an audience. I don't know. I'm sure the network is thinking about an audience. But this is going to impact, if this becomes part of the mainstream culture, where religion and scripture citation is right out there in the everyday prime time, you know, you turn on the tube, and there it is. How do you see that intersecting with American politics? Particularly, I'm in the mind of the anti-science tone of this of this miniseries in a time when we're being told if we don't get our science act together, our lunch is going to be eaten by China and India and all the rest.
I don't know why.
I think that you're absolutely right, Tom, because no matter what the author's intention is or isn't, the program has a life of its own with the audience. And that whole science versus religion conflict plays on a very deep-seated American view of it's either one or the other. And science wrested hegemony away from religion in the early 20th century. Mm. And we all became very aware of the importance of progress in science and technology, and the Scopes trial kind of was the epitome of that. And ever since, you know, you could say religion has been trying to get back its preeminent place in American culture. So this is a very, very old idea in America, and one that has a lot of resonance for people. Which one has authority? Which master do we follow?
David Seltzer, if I may, David, are you genuinely anti-science, or are you pandering to an anti-science view here?
Anybody who would think that there's any anti-science in here really has not watched very carefully.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I just watched it, and it's got anti-science woven all through it, my friend.
Really? The scientist is the hero. The scientist...
Every scientist is in a dark room with shadows on his face wanting to kill an innocent child. She calls him the devil's advocate as soon as he says that he's pro-science.
Well, you know that you're being inflammatory and not quoting the picture.
I think I'm being pretty accurate
in
my sense of it.
No. Well, your sense of it, okay, then don't make those seem like they're direct quotes. The term devil's advocate is part of the lexicon. We all use it. She didn't mean anything literally.
It doesn't sound accidental in your show.
To you, perhaps it doesn't. Mm. We have a scientist in the beginning of it actually quoting a BBC study that looked into the 10 plagues of Moses and really found evidence of a volcano that turned the Nile red with silt and drove the frogs onto land, who died there and you know, drew bugs which carried typhus to the death of the firstborn in the fields. I don't think that's anti-scientist
but
at
David,
all.
But David, what about your portrayal of doctors? What about those doctors who just want to pull the plug and they sound so cold-blooded and they're not paying attention to what she's doing? All they want to do is harvest her organs.
Well, this is a part of our life. There's a high premium on organs for people who are brain dead. And,
but you don't think real doctors would be kind of wondering what's going on with this girl who's speaking in Latin?
Well, this is not a documentary.
You're having it both ways.
I'm not. You can analyze it both ways. If these characters are effective in the fiction that I'm writing, I will use them to be. If a bunch of doctors sat around and said what only you want doctors to say, then I wouldn't be writing something that served a dramatic purpose.
Well, the dramatic purpose is clear. That I think we can agree on. Cynthia's calling from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Hi, Cynthia. You're on the air.
Hi. It's actually kind of ironic, I think, that I'm calling because I suspect I'm one of those on the religious right that really wouldn't like the show. But
you might like it. I mean, you should check it out. But why do you suspect you might not?
Well, that's kind of my point. The point that caught my attention was just kind of the objection to a religious show on TV being something that might possibly form or shape a political or a cultural view, and how harmful that would be and what a negative thing that is. And that just seems like an awfully naive point of view to me. Doesn't everything that we put on TV shape our, you know, our policy, our beliefs, our thoughts, you know, everything from, you know...
Whether it's shaking booty or something from the Bible.
Exactly. And so, you know, I really do think that I would disagree with a lot of stuff on the show because I am someone that I'm one of those crazy people that believe that the Bible should be literally read and believes in the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
But that does seem like a very nice statement. You know, how can we possibly allow a show that might form our foreign policy on TV? Well, I'm sorry. You know, you may think that's dangerous, but the reason you think that's dangerous is because it's not a policy that you might feel comfortable with.
I guess it's something new, Cynthia, and I wonder if religion, when you start quoting scripture in television fiction, I mean, religion does have more potency than just the top 40. Doesn't it have a different quality to it?
Well, actually, I think it's something very ancient and old, and the new is what we're liking. We're liking the shows that are encouraging our morals to deteriorate and encouraging the more liberal thought. And we object to anything that might limit that.
And, she said, let's pull the curtains a little wider. Let's have it all out there. Let's make a place for the religiously flavored show as well.
Well, I would just say let's not target the religious show simply because they're religious.
Yep, we've got it. Cynthia, thanks very much for your call. Barbara Rossing, I wish you'd respond to that. I mean, you've given us an interesting kind of textured view tonight, saying you welcome the Bible in prime time, concerns about the way it might be portrayed or used. What do you say to Cynthia's point?
Well, and I also want to say to David's point, if the scientist is going to take on a role as a scientist, as a hero later in the series, of course, we've only seen the one show, then I'm more intrigued as well, because I think God calls us to use our talents and gifts, including science, for good. And he's interested in responsibility. So I thought the first one was anti-science, but I'm willing to see if this guy doesn't have to abandon science in order to become a hero.
Of course, David will know that much better than
okay.
us.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to be very happy. Keep watching.
Okay,
because I'm an environmentalist. I mean, I think we really need to care for the planet Earth, and that's our calling as scientists and as Christians. So, Cynthia, I guess what I would say is I agree with you. We have to be careful not to just target the religious right. But when I do, it's because when I see the religious right, certain segments at least, thinking that God's will is somehow to destroy the Earth and that this has been scripted by the Bible and that God is going to destroy the planet and that's somehow justified by the Bible, I don't think that's what the Bible says. And if it's a destructive sort of end of the world deterministic kind of theology that we think is in the Bible, then I have to oppose that, because I think that is dangerous politically if people think that somehow apocalyptic scenarios are God's will for our future. Mm-hmm. That's not God's will. God loves the world and God doesn't leave it behind, and we need to say that.
Diane Winston, let me ask you about Cynthia's point as well. I mean, if we've got American Idol and Extreme Makeover and, you know, every kind of infidelity and silliness on television, why not a kind of fundamentalist-flavored drama drawing from biblical prophecy? Is it somehow in a category of its own? Is it in some way more either beneficial or dangerous, or is this just one more stripe, maybe even an important stripe to be there?
First of all, I don't think this is fundamentalist-flavored, because I don't think David is a fundamentalist, so I don't think he could flavor it that way. I do think Cynthia's right in that every show has an agenda, and West Wing, which had been on that time spot, really did try to preach to its audience its creators' perspectives. Mm. So I do think that religion deserves its day as anything else would. I'm just not sure that this show is a good example of what a religious a religiously flavored show would be about.
Because
I don't think Mr. Seltzer is a Christian.
Does that matter? He's not saying that he's revealing exactly the truth of God here. He's, as he said repeatedly tonight, he's making drama.
Right, but the question was, is there room on television for a show mm-hmm. from a religious perspective?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that there is, but I don't think we've seen it yet.
David Seltzer, we've got 20 seconds. Last word goes to you tonight. Where are you headed with this impulse?
With my impulse to write stories that involve the Bible, it's the second time in my life that I've done it. It's a thrilling document. I think it's as exciting to read as anything I've ever read. And I would continue to learn the more I read it, and probably then would be able to reflect that knowledge in stories that may be better than this one.
With that, we're out of time. David Seltzer, executive producer of the NBC miniseries Revelations, thank you for joining us tonight. Diane Winston in L.A. at the Annenberg School of Communication, University of Southern California, thanks for being with us. And Barbara Rossing at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.